Lord Jesus, thank you for how you have gifted us. And I'm so very deeply touched because you have truly made us a unique person, different from everybody else. And yet, we belong to you. And you made us, and you put us together. It was no afterthought for you. I'm so deeply touched when I think that you made me the person I was, and you quietly put me together with such care, such loving care, and you gifted me in a way that I could meet and I could quietly accomplish working with you within the body of Christ, what you had for me to do. I pray that you would speak to us today, and that you would quietly, as we quietly think about all of these different gifts, that we might quietly understand what they are. And number two, as we, in this next month or two, that we will discover how you have uniquely put us together and allow us to work in Eagle Street as a group of Christians and enlarge in the body of Christ to quietly provide something so very valuable. And you enable us to value one another in a very deep way, even though we don't understand, and even though it's not us to work like other people. Help us to be the unique me that you have made me. And so I ask this in your precious name. Amen. Amen. So on the sheet, my motive, I have two motives, okay? I'll tell you up front what I'm looking to do, okay? And what I want you to understand, and what I want you to reach out and grab hold of, there are two things that are very unique. Number one is we'll make the list together. There are 20 of them, okay, the gifts, and we'll be working completely off of, though I have stuff listed up on the thing. But you will discover within Scripture itself, these are what Scripture calls spiritual gifts. Now, if you go beyond Scripture, then I don't know. All I know is I can trust Scripture. I can't. I'm not to disrespect other people's ideas. And you will find within this topic, there are a lot of different ideas. Okay, there are a lot of different ideas. But I want you to, first of all, see this is Scripture. This is not somebody's favorite course. This is not somebody's favorite idea. This is scriptural. But the problem is, right, for you and I, is I know Scripture, but a lot of times I don't reach the second level, which is, okay, well, what are you actually saying? What does that actually mean? Okay? And then that's immediately becomes the point where you get all kinds of people's different ideas. And then we have to go back to context. You have to go back to the Scripture and say, okay, well, let me see what Scripture says about this. And I'll say more about that later. So I want you to get a hold of, these are the 20 gifts that are in Scripture. They are in Scripture. So it's something we can talk with confidence about. The other one is, I need you to really get a hold of this. And Rob is probably a better person to explain this. And he and Peter and I will quietly work together, and we'll try to start to gel stuff together. I don't know if I shocked you last week, but this is a big topic, but it is a very valuable topic. Just like I said, if you do not know what your talents are and what you do well in life, you'll be all over the place, and you probably will not develop well. And you'll either fall into thinking that what you're good at, actually, everybody is good at. That is not true. Just because I'm good at it doesn't mean somebody else is. And if somebody else is good at something else, it does not mean if I can't do it, then I'm useless. That is wrong. That is the lie that Satan is feeding us. And therefore, if I try to be what I am not, then you know what happens? And this is where Satan, in the background, he's always working on this kind of stuff. So I try to be like someone else, and I'm not good at it. Then immediately I hit the wall with failure. And failure is a big tool in Satan's toolkit. He wants you to fail, because a person who has always a sense of failure doesn't function well. And so you need to know, what is actually God gifted me to do? Now, I saw recently two people who stepped out of their comfort box, and these two people are definitely not. And if you ask them today, so did you like doing that? They'll say, please don't ever ask me to do that again. But they jumped because they had this job to do, and these two people were not necessarily, as far as I'm concerned, not necessarily gifted in this area, but because nobody else was available, they did it. And they did an amazing job. And that is called the grace of God. To do a job because somebody else is lazy and doesn't do it, or non-functioning, and you stepped up to fill in a gap, that is the grace of God. But there is a gift. There is a gift that does that stuff incredibly. Do you know what it's called? It's called help. How do you step in and help someone without taking over on them, but you filled a gap? They were tired, and you stepped in. And some people can do that incredibly well. So you also need to that. The second thing is, I want you to get, and I want this to start to permeate down very deeply, is when you were born, you had things, that abilities that you could do really well. Okay, but it took, of course, obviously a baby can't do very much, right? But as you grew up, God had given you certain things that you were just good at. You were just good at. And so I have called those talents, okay, but we're floundering all over the place on Wednesday night because I didn't explain it. Talents are what I'm calling talents, okay, are simply natural abilities that God gave you. So to make it a very simple, for me, it becomes very simple when you say, okay, a natural talent, unsaved people and saved people, they can both do that thing. So playing the piano. So can only Christians play the piano? Of course not. Non-Christians can be incredible at musicians, right? That is a natural talent, okay? What I am, well, you're starting in those 20 things right there, they're a spiritual gift. This is what Scripture called them. They're a spiritual gift. In other words, they're a spiritual talent. An unsaved person cannot do it. An unsaved person cannot do a spiritual gift, because I don't want to overload you with a whole bunch of stuff, but this is very necessary to understand. Because when you entered the body of Christ, when you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, He gave to you a spiritual gift. So a spiritual gift is given to each one of us so we can help one another. In 1 Corinthians, so within 12, it's also on your sheet. No, I cut out the stuff. So what I want you to understand is every person who is in the body of Christ is given a spiritual gift. But I think of it, you know, you might say, okay, well, I understand all those words, but I have no idea what you're talking about. The word gift is not a present on Christmas Day or whatever. No, a gift is something you do really well. So there are natural gifts, but this is what Scripture is calling a spiritual. And a spiritual thing, it already points out to something we are later on going to be really careful of. Within spiritual, that word is spirit, the Holy Spirit. He is the one that really gives you the ability to use that spiritual gift well. And if you are not walking by the Holy Spirit, your spiritual gift will malfunction. Or you will use it wrongly and it will malfunction. It won't work in all the beauty of what God wants to do with that. And notice it says everyone, okay? This is not men, so only men have this. Get that. It is not only men. It is all of us. Each of us have been given a spiritual gift. Now, out of that is going to come a lot of questions and so on, and we'll deal with them slowly, okay? So let me just, I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. I just want you to know. So that's the human talents versus spiritual talents or spiritual gifts, right? 1 Corinthians 12:7. Is that the verse up there? Yeah, see? Each of us. So don't tell me you don't have any. Don't tell me you don't have any. Some of us are good at that. That's called false humility. Okay. And then where in the Bible, okay? And so I've just written it down. Later on, you can come back and look through the thing. Okay, there are four places where it definitely talks about spiritual gifts. And it sometimes it will list. The last one, it doesn't. But the first three definitely name gifts. They name the spiritual gift, okay? And so 1 Corinthians 12, which we're going to do today, okay, we're also going to do Romans and Ephesians, but we're going to pick them up because we're going to pick out the names of these spiritual gifts, okay? So 1 Corinthians 12, we're going to come back later on because that's talking about how we function together. So each of us has a specific, or let me throw this in because this is also important. Now, if I asked you natural talents or natural abilities, do you only have one?
No.
That'd be ridiculous, right? Of course you don't have one. You're going to have more. But probably you'll have one dominant one, one that you're quite passionate about because you're very good at it, okay? Spiritual gifts are the same way. You may have several together. But usually there's one that sticks out, okay? This is something I'm very passionate about. It's something I love to do, okay? But you probably will have more. And that is what makes each of us so incredibly unique because we have a different mix of gifts, and then we have a different mix. We're all different in personality. So how you use a spiritual gift, how the Holy Spirit allows you to use your spiritual gift, He will also use your personality to do it because you are a whole person. When you're saved, it doesn't mean that your personality doesn't matter. It matters. It makes you unique. And that is why all of us are so unique. So 1 Corinthians 12 that we're talking about today, functioning together. Romans 12, we're functioning as an individual. It's more in that aspect. At least this is my take on it. Ephesians 4 is very beautiful, and that's why I hope you're doing that one. Are you doing that one, Rob? Ephesians 4? Okay, Peter. This is a beautiful one because this is from God's perspective. God says, I gave you all spiritual gifts. Here's what I want you to do with them. And here is my motive in what I want you to accomplish. And then the last one just takes all the gifts. It doesn't name any of the gifts, but it refers to them in two different classes. There are only two different classes. And we'll talk about maybe that in the very end. Okay, now come back to your sheet there with has the scriptural passage, okay? And let's just read the passage. This is courtesy of Esther. She reminded me, read the Bible passage for crying out loud, because otherwise she didn't say crying out. Esther doesn't say crying out loud. See, now that's my personality differences, right? Even spiritual difference. I'm malfunctioning, right? She is. Esther's right on. And it was an excellent suggestion. Read the passage so you can see what you're talking about. Now, what I've done is I've switched the passages upside down. So I've done verse 27, first of all, then I've jumped back to verse 7, okay? And the reason why I've done that is because it seems to me, and I could be wrong, but it seems to me that from 27 to 31, there is, first of all, there's a sequence, because you can see on there, right? First are apostles. Second are teachers. Second are prophets. Third are teachers. So there's an order to these things, okay? And so let's just read verse 27. I'll read it for us together. All of you together are Christ's body, and each one of you are a part of it. Here are some of the parts God has appointed for the church, okay? And then we come to the list, okay? First are apostles, second are prophets, third are teachers, then those who can do miracles, those who have the gift of healing, those who can help others, those who have the gift of leadership, and those who speak in unknown languages. So are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all have the power to work, do miracles? Do all have the gift of healing? Do all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do all have the ability to interpret unknown language? Of course not. Of course not. If you were, then you're God, and you could do everything. Of course not. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. Okay, so what we're going to do right here is, now we're going to take those four sheets, all right? We're going to do those four sheets, and we're just going to start a list. Now, here's one thing you can do or not do. It is up to you. What I found incredibly important, if I see that Scripture refers to a gift two or three times, that's very curious. Why would it mention this gift two or three times? My idea is two ideas. My idea is, either it's very important because you repeat what is very important to you. I think God also does the very same thing in Scripture, and he says to us, Rob, I want you to get this, so I'm going to repeat it to make sure you get this, okay? So if you want to, as we're doing this tally and writing in the gifts, okay, if you want to see if it's repeated, you want to put a tick mark. Then later on you'll come back and say, well, that's interesting. This had five different mentions. This one only had one mention. I don't know. Is that significant? I think it is. It's not. The last thing, let me just say this before we start, and then we'll go fairly quickly. It says first, second, third, then, whatever. And it goes down like that. So what's the first one? The first one is apostles. Okay, so I don't know. I'm just giving you this idea so you can come back and think about it. I think that, obviously, you come to Ephesians. Now, I'm giving you information that it's going to become later on, okay? It says that the church is built on the foundation of apostles, prophets, and teachers, I think. I think that's what it says in Ephesians, okay? So I think that's why it's saying first apostles. Probably is saying these were the, and then later on, the because they were definitely apostles in the Acts, right? You've read the Acts. They were front and center. They were very basic to what went on in that thing. And then there were prophets, right? And then there were teachers. And then it drips off in. And then it makes a big list. So let's start your list here. Let me see if I can work. Well, I've already got the first one up. Okay, so this is number one. Now, on your sheet, so write in number one there, apostles. Okay, so number one is apostles. And I've written the word in first. You can come back later on and can think, is it okay, Dave? Your pen misbehaving there? It's okay now. First... Yeah, okay, there you are. Spiritual talent? probably not. Spiritual gift of making pens work. I haven't heard of that one. Now, I'm just going to explain very quickly, and I'm not even going to talk about it. What I have done on your sheet, okay, apostles, what I have done is in the middle column, I have given you a definition of what an apostle is. And I've given a whole bunch of other references. And then in the third column there, in your third column, I have gone back and said, okay, give me an example. Well, you have Peter, John, Thomas, you could have all kinds, right? And you're not allowed, into these different gifts. Oh, I'm just going to write Jesus down because he's perfect, right? So he's got all of these gifts. Well, yeah, but I'm talking about human beings, right? Or human being. Human beings, okay? So that's why I have... Now, I'm not even going to deal with any of that today, okay? But just so you know what it is. The third column is an example. The middle column is a definition. Now, I'm giving you a book today... I'm giving you a book today that has a lot of this stuff here. I'm not even sure how much stuff I gleaned out of the book and how much stuff I did on my own, okay? And you can slowly do that. Okay, so then we come to number two, which be on the back, right? On the back, page two. So according to your scriptural passage, the second one is prophets, okay? Whoops, prophets. Okay, now some of this stuff you can have a lot of fun. To me, it's a lot of fun. You can quietly say, challenge yourself, say, okay, well, think of somebody was a prophet. Now, what we're doing is we're sticking mainly in the New Testament, right? We're not going back to the Old Testament. You can't pour apostles. They're New Testament. But if you said prophets, well, okay, well, who was a prophet? Elijah, Elisha, and so on. Now, there is a crossover. There is a crossover. A prophet is a prophet, okay? But the New Testament prophets could well be slightly different, and not like the other. So, mostly when I ask a person, give me a definition of a prophet, they always say, well, he tells the future. Yeah, they do. I give you an example right there. Agabus says, hey, there's going to be a famine in Jerusalem, so we better get some money together to take money up to the church. He's telling the future. But mostly, they don't tell the future. Mostly, they do not tell the future. But they have one thing in common. When they speak, they are speaking for God. Hey, I'm giving you a message from God. That's the crossover. You know, whether Old Testament or New Testament, they're always doing this thing, okay? And so I promised you I wouldn't confuse you, okay? But just to the prophet. And then the next one, what's the next one? Teachers, okay. Number three is going to be teachers. Okay, now let me say one thing here, and then I'm going to go probably even faster. So a teacher, let me ask you a question. Shall we pick on Mark? So in Acts, Mark, there were teachers, right? Paul being basic. What were they teaching from? They were either using Old Testament, but they weren't wholly using the Old Testament, right? When they talked to the Jews, they definitely used the Old Testament because they honored the Old Testament. Rob, what were they using? They might have been using teachers, but Paul, he's a way outside the box. And Peter says, well, he talks about stuff hard to understand because they were actually justification by faith. You'll find that in the Old Testament. You will not. You'll find pictures of it, but you won't find the truth. So in a real sense, these first three, apostles, prophets, and teachers, quite often today, I get wary of anybody said, I'm a prophet, so I'm going to tell you what God's saying to you. And you say, hold on. I can hear from God itself. I don't need you to be a, but I will listen carefully to what you got to say. But I will check everything you say, Claus. I will check everything you say by the Word of God. By the Word of God. I'll check everything you say by the Word of God. But there was no Word of God. There was the Old Testament, like Mark, was it you who said that? There was the Old Testament, yes. But the Old Testament didn't have the truths about the church and about how the church was to function and about spiritual gifts. It didn't have any of that kind of stuff. So in a very special way, I don't know if apostles, prophets, and teachers in the first church, they were very, very special people, right? And they just simply functioned, and they didn't have the Word of God. Today, We must be very, very careful to say the Word of God is inspired by God, and it's good to teach me everything. So if you have something to say to me, okay, you have something to teach me, show me the Word of God. Okay, but I think in 1, 2, and 3 here, it may have another flip side to it. Do apostles exist today? I know there are people that call themselves apostles. Do they exist today, Heather? And Heather would say, well, then you have to go back to Scripture. And I have to find a definition of an apostle in Scripture. And Scripture is very, very clear. When they chose someone to replace Judas, they said, here are the qualifications. We have to replace Judas. Here is the qualification of the person who is to replace Judas. So then we've sort of got a qualification thing. Okay, if you think you're an apostle, you have to be doing it. On the other hand, all Scripture is inspired. On the other hand, you could think, what is the outstanding feature of an apostle? What is the outstanding feature of an apostle? Now, Acts says you have to have seen Jesus. So you haven't seen Jesus, you can't be an apostle. I can't. You have to be a proof or a testimony that Jesus rose from the dead. I can't do that because I wasn't there when he was risen from the dead. So in that sense, there are no apostles, okay, in that sense. But if you thought about apostles are real pioneers. They were real pioneers. They reached out where nobody had been before. Paul boasts in that, hey, I reached to places where people had never been before. That is my privilege of doing that. You could have someone that is doing that kind of a thing, but I hesitate to call them an apostle in this sense because of the thing. I'm getting away out of thing here, okay? So now I'm going to move fairly quickly, okay? So we're just going to simply list the gifts, okay? You, as homework, can quietly be thinking about, so who was one in the Scripture, and what is the true definition of each one of these gifts, okay? So where are we, Heather? Number four is what? Miracles, or those who do miracles, okay? Miracles, or the power to do miracles, okay? 4, 5. What's 5? Alec, you got it? What's number 5? So the power to do miracles, that's on the Scripture sheet, right? Okay, so Peter's got it for you, Alec, and you're next up. Healing, okay? Did you write it? Alec? Healing? Okay. So what's the next one, Alec? On your sheet it says, those who can help others. Now I'm going to, Klaus, I'm going to take it from King James because it appears that this one here is... No, I guess I did do that. I just let that go. Yeah, okay. So let's just write it like that way. It's somewhere else I stuck in a different word. Okay, so those who can help others, okay, or helping others, the ability to help others. But you see, as you're going through this, you think to yourself, yeah, there are some people who are very helpful. There are others. Forget it. Right? There's some people, my sweetheart was somebody who did this well, right? She was very compassionate, sympathetic, and so on. I'd be more like the teacher, okay? So my kid falls down and what?
Go see your mother.
Well, yeah. She's trying to tell secrets on me. So go and see your mother. Or I was worse than that, actually. I said, get up. What are you down there for? Get up. You're not hurt. Come on. Get on with life. See, Ellie's shaking her head. I say, yeah, I hear you. See, but that's, I malfunction, right? And so I could say, well, I'm a teacher or whatever, so I don't have to help people. Well, really? If you don't help people, you'll malfunction. And so but we'll never be as good. And I was never as good as my sweetheart, right? But I sure learned from her. I sure learned the techniques of, come on, have some compassion, please. Have some mercy, it's called mercy, right, on other people. But other people show so much mercy that they're just everybody's slave. And the mercy person has to say, no, do it yourself. I'm busy, I'm cooking food. Why do I have to come and tie your shoelace? You're 15 years old, why should I tie your shoelace, right? And so that's the mercy person, right? There's a plus and a minus to all of these gifts. Okay, come on, I'm doing too much talking. Number seven, this is the one I switched around. And your sheet says, those who have the lift of leadership. I'm going to put leadership down lower, because this one, this is debatable, okay? So just write down the word government for now. I'm not sure if that's the proper word to use. But what it is, it's helping people. I mean, the government is supposed to help you, right? But they'll help you in a way that is not like my sweetheart helping me. Right? My wife is not the government, right? She's in a certain way, right, Dave? But the government is the people that put things in place and so on. So those kind of people, they're quite good. Those kind of people, those are the kind of people that are going to call you up on the line and saying, wait a second, well, let me give you an example, okay? It's a personal example. So this is the person who has the gift of government. He will say, so Lynn said to me, why are you and Erica counting the money? That's a no-no. Why? But your family, you shouldn't be doing this. It should be somebody. And those kind of people are very careful of that things are done properly, okay, and in a way that is good. This is what the gift that we're talking. But for me, I'd never thought about it. I mean, why am I worried? Do you think Eric and I are out to rob money out of the basket and so on? But it could be a very crucial thing. And we do need those kind of people who say, here is the proper way to do it. Okay? And this is just proper. So that's why I wrote in the government. What's the next one, Mark? Number eight. Speaking in unknown languages. Okay, now I know every... You guys are going to be flipping down here, and Dave's going to be saying to himself, so who do I know who speaks an unknown language? Yeah, well, I speak Chinese. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the Holy Spirit giving you the power, Mark, to stand up and start talking Chinese. And your wife would not only fall over, but I would also fall over and say, that's amazing. How can Mark talk Chinese? That's ridiculous. Okay, so it says that, okay? So don't hit me in the face. Don't punch my nose. The Bible says that, okay? But your question is very valid. I've never seen it. So when does it happen? Okay? And the best thing is not to use human history. The best thing is go back into Scripture and to see. Claus, did anyone speak in an unknown language in the Bible? See, and this is good, okay? We can do it together, Claus. I love doing this because what you don't remember, Mark is already nodding his head. Heather is already nodding her head. There'll be John is nodding his head. When? Let's call him up on the mat. When did people speak in an unknown language?
When they spoke in Jerusalem.
That's right. That's right. Acts chapter 2, right? It was very, very thing. That was one of the proofs that what they're saying is true, because they don't know the language. So how could they be talking our language? And that became the proof. Speaking unknown tongues, okay? Okay, so let's jump down to, now put verse 29, okay? So then it says, are all apostles? Now, I don't know if you want to do this or not, but if you want to put a tick mark in apostles, so apostles are mentioned twice, but you could you could dump it, but I just find it interesting. So a tick mark in apostles, a tick mark in prophets, a tick mark in teachers, right? This is verse 29 I'm doing, okay? A tick mark in the power to do miracles? No, we don't have that one. So that one will be number 9, I think. Right? So number nine, that's in verse 30, right? Okay, 5. It's the next phrase where you have 9. Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Okay, in verse number 30, right? The ability to interpret unknown languages. The other one was talking in unknown language. This one is actually being able to interpret unknown languages. Now it says, so earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. Now I'm going to flip back to verse 12. Okay, so let's just read it so you get a general idea, okay? Starting in verse 7. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. So there's what was on the first page, right? Every single one of us have one. Don't think of this as false humility. Don't think of this as pride. No, it's just saying you do have a special ability. You are specially gifted by God to function within the Word of God. So I think you need to, at this point, ask Rob, when you hear that, what? What's your reaction? And you know, and the third thought he didn't say, and he said to me was, Heather, he said, this is really exciting. This is really exciting that God actually has gifted me in a very special way to within the body of Christ to be a very unique person. That is really exciting. Unless if you're a person like I am who tends to, as John Summerfield will tell you, who has no sense of worth, and so on. That is very exciting. I'm a very special person. Number 8. To the one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. To someone else, the Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether the message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another one is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. And the lesson last week said, are you faithful? Are you truly using what you've been given? And for me, the passion of having part in this, in what we're doing in these weeks, I have a real passion because He alone decides which gift each person is to have. And if you don't know which gift you have, well, then no wonder you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. But on another level, you always will be doing what you're supposed to be doing, because if you're gifted to do that, we love to do the things we're good at. It gives us a sense of worth. Until we hit the wall. And somebody says, I hate you. Your kids ever say that to you? I hate you. Sometimes, and especially for a prophet, right? A prophet is supposed to be bringing a message of God, and you say to the prophet, I hate you. What he's trying to do is stop you. He doesn't want to hear what God says. Teacher could be the very same way. And so we stonewall a teacher. And then he has to be faithful to quietly teach what God has truly given him to teach. Like I said to you, mercy, mercy, you are wasting my time. Number two, I have a husband, and if you are sidling up to me and want to use me as a wife should be used, no way. I have no mercy. So each one of these gifts, you have to be careful that it's used properly, right? In the proper way. So this one was what? Do I need to go backwards? I need to go backwards, right, Steve? Can you do it for me? So let's get started. What number are we down to, Dave? Okay, 10. So we're doing what, 11?
Oh.
No. 9.
Ten.
Have we got 9?
Yeah,
we did. Okay, so did we do 9?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so we need 10. So the number 10 is obviously going to be the person, the ability to give wise advice, right? That's in verse 8, right? In your verse 8, it says the ability to give wise advice. 11? The ability to give wise advice, and then the ability to give a message of special knowledge. Now, don't raise your hand and say, "Well, what's that?" Okay, we'll deal with those questions a little bit. Okay, this is coming from Scripture, right? So it says the ability to give a message of special knowledge, and then great faith, right? What number is that? 12 is great faith. Someone who has great faith. Okay. The gift of great faith. Hey, we're supposed to all have faith. We're supposed to all have faith. Aren't we saved by faith? Yeah. This is something different. This is the gift of great faith. And so that kind of person will say, "Let's go." And you're saying, "Are you crazy? There's no way we can do this." That person, for some reason, and it's by the Holy Spirit, it's no reason. There is a reason. By the Holy Spirit, that person is gifted with the faith and probably the discernment also to say, "No, we can do this because I know that God will help us." And there are people like me who are saying, "Well, let's plan this out and see whether this really works or not," and so on. This person is the cheerleader, right? What's the next one?
13.
So healing was mentioned again, right? And performing miracles was mentioned again. Prophecy was mentioned again. Where I got lost here. Yeah, that's right. So number 13, it says.
It's in verse 10.
Verse 10, thank you, Heather. The ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. And I just wrote here, discerning of spirits. And this can go either way. This can go either way. That person will sense whether the Holy Spirit is really in this or not. But it can also discerning of spirits, if you look at it used in Scripture, like Paul. In other words, he was very aware of what the Holy Spirit was saying to him. But he was also aware of evil spirits. So he gets very upset when there's a girl following them and shouting out, "These are the messengers of the Most High God." And he stopped her in her dead tracks and cast out the evil spirit. Because he discerned this woman is calling out, not by the Holy Spirit. The message sounds like the Holy Spirit, but he could discern, no, this is something bad. Because you know why? Satan is very, very deceitful. And he will copy what God does to try and deceive us. So, but this person here has that ability. And then there's unknown tongues, right? It mentioned again. Ability to interpret is given again, And then it says, it is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. So where am I down to now? So 13 was what?
13 is the discerning spirits.
Okay. Okay, so then, so let's flip back now to Ephesians, okay? And this one goes very quick, okay? Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 on the back. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostles, you want to put a tick mark on that? The prophets, tick mark, right? Now here's a new one, right? Oh, sorry, Steve. I've got us mixed up here. So what is it? The next one?
Evangelists,
right? Ephesians 4 and verse 11. Okay. Evangelists is number, there it is, 14. Okay. Evangelists, 14 is evangelists. 15 is pastors. Whoops, there it is. Pastors or shepherding. That's what the word pastor means. It means that they're a shepherd. They'll be doing shepherding work. And the last one for this, the teachers is mentioned again, right? Okay, now flip down into Romans 12, 6 to 8. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing different things. And I see Romans 12 as being very, before it was in the body, okay? In the body, we're all together and we're all serving together. This one here, Romans, for me, 12, is 12:1. What does it say, Mark? It says, I want you to offer your body to God as a living sacrifice, right? So that's very individual. What's the word I'm trying to say? Individual thing. It's an individual thing. You serve God with the body that God has given to you. All right, Jamie? So these ones here can be, I see it as being very individualistic. So in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God is giving you leadership ability, take responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. I love this one because this one sets the bar. This one sets the bar when you are functioning in that gift. Okay, so stop talking, Rob, and keep going. Not Rob Vanderbilt, Rob Pilkington. So 16 is... We're on 17?
16,
did I? Did I go ahead? I'm confusing people here. Ministering, where did I get that one? Yeah, but where did it come from? Yeah, serving others. Because prophecy, we already have. Right, and so verse 7 is serving others, okay? So the gift of serving, our ministry. These people would be good, right? These people are too. You know what the characteristic of these people is? Detail. If you have no detail in servicing, I don't care. Do it yourself. That kind of person does not... Either the gift is malfunctioning and he's selfish, like me, or he simply doesn't have that gift. But if you don't have the gift, for heaven's sakes, I shouldn't say that, okay? Then ask God to make you sensitive to serve well. To serve well. Learn to serve. Because that is a very beautiful... I love this gift here. Service or ministry. And then it says, teacher... And then verse 8 is encouragement. Okay, we're almost done here. 17, because we've got 20, right? 17, encouragement. The gift of encouragement. So if you have the gift of a prophet, Rob, so if you have the gift of prophet, will you be encouraging? Not unless you're walking according to the Spirit, because the prophet says, I don't care about encouragement. I know you have to hear something, Heather. I'm telling you, are you listening? And so on. And unless that person learns to be encouraging well, his prophesying will not be as good. But the main thing about a prophet is, I need to give you the message that God gave me. I don't know whether it'll be encouraging or not, but sometimes you do need to be careful. Like I say, the girls, right? If you have anything to say, you are free to say it. But I want you to think about, are you actually being heard? Be gentle. Be gentle. Don't say nothing, but think about how you can say it so the person will hear the message that is being said. But these people are driven by encouraging, and encouraging they put together over on some of these here. Encouraging could be encouragement. It could be challenging. One of these verses puts three things together with encouragement. You can look it up when you're doing this, okay? And then the next one is giving, right? Yeah. Well, it says, that's the bar, Andy. That's the bar. So what I say to Andy is, I don't have the gift of giving, so I don't have to give. And Andy laughs at me, well, rightly so, right? Because on some level, we're all going to have to, we should give to the Lord. It should be our pleasure to give to the Lord. But some people are really, really, really generous. And they have the ability to be generous. But you know what the flip side is, Alec? They're going to say to you, Alec, I gave you some money, so how did you use it? Those people are very sensitive. They'll give generously, but sometimes they'll kick in a good way and say, wait a minute, you are not using this in a good way. So all in that giving thing. I told you I talk too much. 19, leadership. Did we stick government back in there? Okay, yeah, we did. And so this is leadership. Some do have that gift of leadership, and it's a real gift. It's a good one. Okay, and then the last one, it says showing kindness to others. Right, showing kindness to other kindness and mercy to others. And last of all, I just want to finish off here. 1 Peter 4:10-11. I want you to think now, because this talks about spiritual gifts, right, in verse 10. I want you to think, this is the way I'm thinking. When you do things, there are two ways of doing things. Scripture says there are two ways of doing things. And as we read these verses, tell me, what are the two ways you do stuff? Okay? So here's 1 Peter 4, verse 10. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. So what are the two ways you do? You do things in life. This may be crap. I'm not sure. I don't think it is. Heather, what are the two ways?
I'd say selfishly and selflessly.
Yeah. Andy? These are all things that we're going to talk about later. Okay, I'll give you my idea. In life, you do things in two ways. You either talk it, or you actually physically do it. So a prophet, he talks. A teacher, talks. encourager talks mostly, right? But the gift of helping, no, you are doing stuff. You are doing stuff. You could be helping other people that way. So here's the funny joke at the end. So somebody's sick. Heather's sick. So we all go to her house. So what does the teacher say to Heather? Heather, did you know the Bible talks about sickness? And so he starts his sermon. Mark, he starts his sermon. I suspect, Stephanie, I'm not sure about Mark. Okay, I could pick on you, but I don't know you well enough. Mark would quietly look at me telling my sermon to Heather and say, give me a break. What's Mark thinking? Mark? Pardon? You know what that is? You know what? Did you hear what he just said? He was showing the characteristic of what, Stephanie? When he says, well, he probably didn't want to hear that. What is Mark showing? It is mercy. Okay. That's mercy, right? But I was thinking what Mark would say, give me a break. You're in there preaching a sermon. Hey, come on. There's dirty dishes in the sink. Did you know the floor needs to be swept? Isn't that what you're passionate about, Mark? Sometimes, right. And the reason why Mark says, now I'm putting words in Mark, okay, so you can shoot me through the head later on. The reason why Mark says sometimes is I'm tired of being everybody's broom. I'll do it for Stephanie. But Rob, I'm not coming over to your house. I'm going to sweep your house clean and do the dishes. You're lazy. You're retired. I got a job. What are you doing? And so in that house, every single person, the prophet, he's the guy that really kills. Hey, I got a message for you. God made you sick because, and you're saying, it's like, Mark, come on, give me a break. Be merciful, right? That's not what I need. But it's a priority, the perspective of each person. They see a need in a different area. And so the teacher says, well, you cleaned up the kitchen, but you didn't do anything for Heather personally. Yeah, that's nice to do that for Heather personally, but you didn't encourage them. You didn't give them anything for her to be able to enjoy from. You see, because each person, each gift has a passion. And you have to be careful not to get out in right field and not to get out in left field. Not to overdo it. On the other hand, not to malfunction and do nothing. But the really good thing is when we step into a situation and we are so selfless that I'll do whatever needs to be done. And I don't sweep the kitchen. There's still some dirt on the thing. Actually, you should have got the mop and you should have got down and take the grease right off the floor and so on. That's the helper person is going to be so detailed. And the teacher, but at least the teacher saying, hey, nothing's above me. The teacher will say, no, I'm a teacher. I don't have to do that stuff. And this is the beautiful part of knowing what I'm good at. I will do it. But I will also step into a situation where nobody is willing to do it or no one is present to do it. I will sacrifice myself to do whatever to serve one another. Okay. I'm way over. Okay. But I am very, very passionate about this part. I am going now to give you the booklet. You can, Alex and Daniel, please. I'm going to give a booklet to every single one of you. And it has a test in it, has questionnaires, 98 questions to Steve. I need the part now about the very last slide that says how to do that's right. It's on your sheet. Okay, it's on your sheet, on the scripture sheet. On your scripture sheet. So within this booklet, there are 98 questions about you as a person. I guess I need one so I can be accurate. I just need... Okay, thanks. So just when you're going through this book, read it as much as you want. But the other thing is, don't do these tests until we say, okay, well, go ahead now and do this test. So what I want you to do is do the first test, okay? And there are 90, no, it's even worse than that. There's 128 statements. Thank you. Okay. So there are 128 statements. There are 128 statements. Now, I have written down on your biblical sheet just three or four things that are very important. So you're supposed to rate yourself on these statements, rather whether you are good or bad at it, right? At the spiritual profile, right here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, up at the top of the sheet. Do you see it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, at the top of the sheet. Number 5 means what?
Almost always.
Almost always true. 4, often true, sometimes true. Seldom true, and then 1 is almost never. Almost ever. It's not something that I like doing. Now, what I need to warn you about a couple of things, and that is, don't stay in the middle. Don't stay in the middle. Whatever. That's not true. That's not being honest. Right? And you can never change until you become honest in life, okay? So it's not true that whatever, you know, I don't care, anything goes. That is not true. You're living in denial if you live like that, because they're all things that we are either passionate about or things that we, in actual fact, we avoid because we simply do not enjoy them. And there's nothing wrong with that. So don't stay in the middle. Try to stay out of the middle, okay, either a 4 or 5, and if you think that 5 almost always true, oh, that's being too proud, you're stuck. 5 is I always like doing that, I always enjoy doing that, and if you don't think, well, not necessarily, sometimes I don't do it, it's not the most important thing in life, that's a 4, okay. 1 is, you know, if you don't force me, I don't do it. It's like, is it okay for me to tell Ellie? All kinds of dishes in my sink. Nobody washes dishes. I mean, Dad is retired. I mean, come on. He can, he's got lots of time. He can do that.
You may do the dishes, but I do my own laundry.
Okay, there you are. What she doesn't tell you, Dave, is, but I fold up all her laundry put it on the bed. So what we're saying here, you understand what we're saying here, okay? So 1 is Dave, I don't do it unless I'm forced. I might be guilt-tripped into it when I think of Andy, and I would be thinking to myself, did you talk to somebody about the Lord today? Because Andy is really good at this, okay? I mean, he also has improvement to make, okay? He's not perfect, okay? But that is something he really enjoys, okay? Dave and I might do it in a special way. Dave, you know the way Dave does his evangelism? There's a guy standing right beside him. And John is good at this. I've heard him talk about this all the time. He takes advantage of the opportunity that presents itself to be able to talk to the Lord in whatever thing. You know, he doesn't punch the person in the nose and say, you're going to hell if you don't believe. That's not Dave's style. Right, no. But he can be quite sharp, right? Sometimes, but what I'm saying is, so don't. First of all, don't stay in the middle, okay? Because it won't give you a true picture. The second thing I put on there is, don't give the right answer. Give the answer what is true for you. So that's what I was telling you about a minute ago. So I don't die if I haven't spoken to somebody about the Lord today, but I am sensitive to it, but I don't die. That's not my passion in life. Rob would I was talking to Alex about you, so you're in trouble now. He loves to read his Bible. I'll bet you any money, if he didn't spend how long, Eleanor, a day, how long does he usually spend? We won't ask him. It won't put him under pressure. An hour? 2 hours? I wouldn't be surprised. Because he doesn't spend an hour or 2 hours in the Bible. The day is wacky. The day is out of. And because he's a teacher, and therefore the Bible is extremely, extremely important to him. Read it. Read it again. Did you really understand what it was saying? Okay, Peter would be the same way, right? And so don't give the right answer. So if I asked you, if you didn't read your Bible today, would that be a down thing? I can't see anything right here, right now. Or even suppose 9. But this one is too individualistic. My study of scripture gives me unique knowledge. I mean, some people say, come on.
Yeah, she was 95.
Okay, 95 is a good one. What does it say, Heather? Read it out.
Studying the scripture is my passion.
Okay, so you look at that, right, Dave, and you say, would you dare write a 1? You say, I'm not writing a 1 because I know the right answer is a 4 or 5. Okay, so I need you to be honest, okay? Don't necessarily write a 1, okay? Because I suspect you do read scripture, right? But then you're not going to be as good as Rob, okay, in that one, okay? And 5, Rob might be thinking to himself, well, I'm not Jesus, so I'm not perfect, so I shouldn't write a 5. He probably should, right, Eleanor? He probably should write a 5, okay? But if not, Rob, you can write a 4, okay? But you're being dishonest. See how encouraging I am, Rob? So that's what I'm trying to get, okay? Don't write down the right answer. Write down you, the answer for you. And there's nothing wrong with saying, well, I'm a 2 on reading the scripture, okay? And 3 is going to happen. I'm warning you right now because you need to be aware of this. Don't get stuck. You get down, Eleanor, to 20 and 21 and your mind goes blank. You're saying, well, this is so incredibly, who do you think you are asking me all these personal questions here, right? And I have to write a 1 on 2 or 3 in a row, and I stink. At that point, stop for a moment, bow your head, and quietly pray, and ask the Lord to give you the ability to do it. And then 4 is... for Ellen or Stephanie or Mark or Rob or for Andy, Sue, if you're married, do it first by yourself and then check back with your partner, okay? Do it prayerfully by yourself first and then later on go back. And I found that Mark gave me insight. So I would say this answer and say, well, not really. And so we'd adjust it to... And the reason for that is because Mary will probably know things about you that you don't know. But on the other hand, you know things about Mary that she doesn't know, okay? And so gently we help one another in the close relationship that we are. But do your own first. Do your own first. And don't ask, if you come to a question and say, I have no idea what answer is supposed to be there, then stop and just quietly pray. And if you still don't get any light, then go on and finish the whole thing. And then later on, come back and think about those questions. I don't have anything else to do. Okay, so the booklet's yours now, okay? To me, this changed Marg in my life. It changed it dramatically in my life. Because I began to realize and I began to value her in a new way, complete sense of way. I began to value other people because I recognized what they're really good at. And then I was free to say, hey Rob, will you do this for me, please? Now I have weaknesses, right? And I work Rob to death. But But there are certain areas that he is really good. So I'm finished, okay? And what's going to happen is Rob and Peter are going to then pick up on the topic, and they're going to talk about the passages, other passages that talk about this. And then I'm hoping that we will be able to quietly begin to talk to one another, and you will be surprised. You'll be surprised at how other people will, if you get your questionnaire right, you will be amazed at how other people said, well, I always knew that. And the reason they always knew it is because if you are functioning, they are getting the benefit of what you are doing. Your master said, I've given you 10 pounds of silver. Will you be faithful? And it is a joy and a pleasure to work with the Lord Jesus. And he is the one, by the Holy Spirit, that has empowered us to be able to be efficient in what we're doing. What greater joy than to quietly walk in life with the Lord Jesus, doing what he has for each day and growing in him.